Aaron Rodgers is going to be there for day one of camp. Deshaun Watson's down there in Houston, right? I think it was Michael Lombardi just sent out a great tweet. Russell Wilson was leaving. No, he's not. He's still in Seattle. Watson, I'm never going to report again. Yeah, I'm there. I'm showing up. Rodgers, I'm done. I'm retiring. Actually, I'm going to be playing in Green Bay. Lots of time wasted over the offseason. Nothing ended up happening. Here is former NFL tight end, Walking the Plank podcast host. He's been on the show many times before. Anthony Becht, back on Overdrive. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm well, gentlemen. How we doing?
We're doing very
good,
well.
Thank you.
Is that an appropriate way of phrasing it, that it was a lot of time wasted over the course of the offseason for nothing to actually happen with these quarterbacks?
I'll be honest. Those paychecks are pretty big, guys. If they don't start coming and direct depositing into the account, sometimes that makes you have a little change of mind. So that looks like the scenario right now. A little bit of drama, something to talk about. But these guys didn't really have to make any decisions or do anything till now.
So we're still waiting on the details on Rodgers and what has been conceded on both sides, like what he's given up, what the Packers have given up. But my understanding is, we've been on the air while all of this is breaking, he's going to be playing this year, and the Packers are still ultimately going to have control over where he plays in 2022. So what did Rodgers get out of this, if he's still in Green Bay, and if he might be in Green Bay again next season?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. You know, I mean, originally he had turned down, looked like the highest paying contract with that, with a potential 2-year extension, and that wasn't what he wanted. So clearly wasn't all about the money. You know, I'm assuming he wants the voidable year so that he can be free and clear in 2022. But from a Packers perspective, I mean, you know, they're not going to give anybody away, especially someone of his caliber and someone that can go to another team and win a championship with them. So,
right.
You know, I don't know how you kind of give or take and make it work for both sides. So I think you're right back in the same position you are next year if he decides to come back. So my point is, why don't you just continue to play hardball if you're Aaron Rodgers? You know, in my opinion, that's the only way that works. But, you know, me as a fan on the outside, I want to see him play. But I think that's the only way. I mean, unless you actually say, look, I'm not coming, that's the only real way to make the statement felt, you know, throughout the organization.
Anthony, let me ask you this. I mean, and you've been in the huddle. In the case of Wilson, Watson, and Rodgers, they've expressed a desire to varying degrees, it would seem, not to be there. How do his teammates feel about now? I mean, obviously you want Aaron Rodgers. You want it, you'd rather him playing than not. But how do you feel about someone who's not, had at times, was not committed to being there?
You know what, guys understand it's a business. You know, it's not high school or college, you know, where, you know, you're just like, you want to avoid the situation, you want to go somewhere else, and this or that. I mean, in the NFL, I mean, this is the livelihood of men. This is what they want. They, you do have, you know, for a fair amount of guys, or at least not as many, but some of the big-time stars, you have options if you want to make things happen and play out your way. But I think guys, for the most part, in the locker room understand, look, if they're there, they're all in. But, you know, I don't think they take it personally as if they don't want to play with those guys in the locker room. I just, it's a business, and everybody to each their own. That's kind of how they work it. So I don't know if anybody really treats it that way, in my opinion. I mean, I wouldn't. You know, there'll be some internal talk, but, you know, he's got guys, friends, stuff within the organizations. Each of those guys do. And they all know that everybody's trying to make their money, get paid, and be in the best situation that's, you know, best for the player, best for their family, to make it work.
Chatting with Anthony Becht, longtime NFL tight end, and we've had Anthony on a bunch. He's got a great podcast. Check it out, the Walking the Plank podcast. Rodgers back. Devontae Adams will be back for at least this year. It sounds as if Rodgers might be working his deal to open up some cap space now, which could allow them to maybe extend Devontae Adams. Where is he ranked for you in terms of wideouts in the league? I mean, I think for most he'd be a top five or top seven guy. But if Rodgers is dealing the way he did last year and Adams is healthy the way he was last year, could you make the argument it's the best, you know, quarterback wideout duo in the NFL?
Yeah, it's one of them. It's up there now. I mean, it's special. You know, I like, you know, how would he be if it was a Jordan Love playing? I don't know. I think he's still that good. You know, everybody on the field knows he's getting the ball, and he gets it. He makes plays. He gets separation, catches everything, still gets in the end zone. I mean, he's fun to watch. You know, he's clearly, you know, there's so many talented receivers. You know, to say he's in my top 10, you'd be like, oh, well, he's better than that. But he could be anywhere in the ring. He could be the best guy in a week, and he could be the 10th guy just because, you know, someone just has an extraordinary game. So Look, he's one of the best in the NFL, and he's a game changer for whatever team he's with, in particular the Packers.
Anthony, I hate to digress from the Green Bay Packers because Brian would like to talk about them for all 3 hours of the show, but we do. There are some other teams in the league. I've seen some preseason rankings that have listed the Buffalo Bills as high as fourth in the NFL. Do you buy that?
You know what? I mean, listen, I think they've shown and proven now the last 2 years as they've gotten better and been in the playoffs that they can be one of those teams. You know, you're starting to see, you know, basically what they are every single, you know, the last 2 years. And, you know, they had a really good offseason. They've gotten better. Not a lot of changes for them. I think the one guy, obviously, that, you know, can be a difference maker for them if he's not on the field or on the field, it's Cole Beasley and just figure out that whole situation. Right. But, you know, you add a guy like Emmanuel Sanders that's going to give you some elite speed, really additional speed at the receiver position, even though they lost a guy like John Brown. Their offensive line's intact. Their defense is as good as any defense in the NFL. And listen, you know, Josh Allen, you know, he's gotten through his sophomore, slump situation. He fought through it and had an awesome year, and he continues to flourish. You know, they're becoming really one of the top quarterbacks in the league. So you look at that draft class, he's really been the guy that's kind of separated himself.
Well, you mentioned Cole Beasley, and he has kind of become the face and voice of unvaccinated players and personnel in the NFL. We had a couple of coaches over the weekend who just cut ties with their teams. And, you know, I saw a report that down in Tampa they're going to have different colored wristbands for vaccinated and unvaccinated players. Like, this is a real crossroads, you know, for players and personnel in the NFL. I was not, if you had told me a year ago a coach would just say, I'm not getting vaccinated, so I'm out, or you have to leave because you're not getting vaccinated, I did not see that coming. But the NFL is clearly, they're scared of COVID, they're scared of losing games, they're scared of losing money, and they believe vaccines are the way out, which I think a lot of people share that view. But how do you see this playing out within the room? I mean, I know this is uncharted territory. It's not something you would have gone through during your career. But if you're an unvaccinated player and 52 other guys on the roster are vaccinated, how can you possibly feel like you're a part of the group?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting dynamic. And even the guys that are vaccinated, I was just flipping through my timeline here on Twitter, and you know, Frank Reich, fully vaccinated, he's got COVID. I mean, guys are still getting it. I don't know. I've heard the bracelet situation. I don't believe that's going to be something that players or the player, the PA, will actually say that is legit. I don't think that'll happen. But I don't know. It's really a tricky situation, man. You know, people in general have a choice. You know, I mean, if I'm playing in this day and age, I'm on a team, I'm going to get the vaccination. I'm going to, you know, that would be my choice. But, you know, I got to respect the guys. But I'll tell you now, if that guy, you know, happened to get COVID, and the problem is now you're seeing guys that, again, are vaccinated getting COVID again, potentially, you know, guys with, you know, and you lose a game or a situation where you got a forfeit. I mean, nobody wants to be that guy. You know, last year was like kind of the free pass. Everybody was just, everyone was dealing with it. Now, if you have a potential option to minimize the possibility of it happening, you know, why wouldn't you attempt to do it, especially in the sporting world? But again, it all goes back to choice. These players, these coaches have choices, and, you know, I can't, it's really a difficult way to lean either way.
Imagine not getting paid because someone on the other team started a COVID outbreak.
Yeah, I mean, look, that could potentially happen. And, you know, and they say they want 90% of the players or who coaches players on the team to be vaccinated. I mean, well, if it's not 100, then you still open yourself up to risk, right? So, you know, to me, it's just like you kind of all get it in and done, and then you're good. If it's only 90% the NFL's looking for, but I'm not quite sure if that actually gives everybody the security that they want either. So it's kind of a tricky deal on kind of how they're laying the law with this whole situation. But you're right, there's a lot of ramifications. But I also go back to the fact that, you know, there's a lot of guys that are on the COVID list that are fully vaccinated. So, you know, I guess, are we saying that, you know, that couldn't happen as much? It could happen, and you could forfeit a game or potentially lose pay, like you're saying, with a guy that gets COVID, even fully vaccinated. So it's, again, it's a trick. It's a slippery slope. They got to continue to protect themselves. And I think, you know, as I speak to and see some of the coaches, facilities, and players, it seems like guys are taking the leniency of, you know, this thing's kind of past us, you know, no mask, a little more free and care. They still really do have to get protect themselves and be careful, because this thing is still around, and it's going to be a part of the season again this year.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely will be. And like anything else with the NFL, I mean, and pro sports in general, the way you're treated and the reaction you're going to get in large part can be based on who you are, your talents, and your production. So, you know, if you're the starting quarterback and you're an all-pro quarterback and you're unvaccinated,
yeah,
the coach is probably going to be like, man, I prefer if you got vaccinated, but you're good to go, right? You're healthy and you can play. Where if you're, you know, the backup safety, you're going to have a different reaction. Team's going to treat you different. They might cut you, you know.
No, I mean, yeah, and that's like a guy on special teams in a similar scenario.
Yep,
right. You know, has a personal foul that cost the team potentially the game. You're right. What's going to happen to that guy? He's probably not going to be on the roster. So
yep.
You're right. I mean, there are, you know, there, it's just different for different guys. You know, everybody's treated fairly, but not equally in the NFL. That's just how it is.
Yep. That's the truth.
Some guys are more equal than others.
Some guys are.
That's right.
Yep. Well, we're into camp now, and we're getting close to the preseason and the regular season right around the corner. So we'll have you back on well before that.
Well, before you go, though, I got to ask them, before you go, the Giants. The Giants.
Just the Giants. Okay. Do you like the Giants? Gordon wants you to like the Giants. Please, the Giants.
Four wins, five wins, what are we saying?
You know what? They're an interesting team this offseason and what they've done. I mean, you know, I really do like Daniel Jones and his style and what he's brought to the team. I think he's improving. I think, you know, the additions they made, you know, I think I'm a little in question. They did give a lot of money to Galladay. I think he is a really good player, but he's been a little nicked up, a little injured. You know, is he somebody that can really take them over the hump? The offensive line has to continue to get better. There's, you know, some improving guys there that they're
not
trying
good.
To lean on.
This is not
to
good.
Be the this
guy.
Is not good.
This is not good.
And from a running back situation, you know, is Barkley, you know, is he, how good is he going to be? I mean, that's a question. We all know he's healthy. I've seen pictures of his legs. He looks like he's big and strong. But again, it's, you know, even prior to that, was he a dominant back that they were, you know, excited to have that was changing the game for them? So, you know, maybe they get better. We'll see. You know, if I had to pick the game, I say they're going to be right around where they were last year. If I had to guess,
no, I think you're probably right. I think Gord knows it. And
yeah,
Gord
was
waiting for you to just
wanted to
point the obvious.
Looking for confirmation. That's all.
Yep,
just looking for confirmation.
Yeah. Pessimism 101. Not me.
You know,
I
do work and cover for the Jets. I play for the Jets. It's hard for me to say anything good about.
Well, there is that.
There you go.
I tried to give you some kind of life. There.
That's all you can get, man. That's all you can ask for. All right, Anthony. Thank you for doing this, buddy.
You got it, guys. Be well. Enjoy the year.
There's Anthony Becht, former NFL tight end, Walking the Plank podcast, and New York Jets analyst. So, yeah, I don't think either New York team's playoff bound this year. It has been fairly consistent for a while now. But, you know, the Jets have the young quarterback coming in. I don't know if he'll start or not.
It's just so hard in that league. It seems like it takes so long to get traction, right? It just seems to take – there's so many – you know, you go through the laundry list, and we're joking about the Giants, but just think about, you know, the Chiefs are now suddenly trying to patch up their offensive line because they gave up so many sacks in the Super Bowl. Like, there's just, it just seems like, you know, you get your quarterback, you get this, you get that, and then you got another hole here, and you got another hole there. And it's just such a hard league because, I mean, there are, it's the only league in the world. Really, I mean, it's
right. It's you're filtering from college, and I mean, occasionally a Canadian Football League or we'll go back to the league or Arena League or whatever. But for the most part, yeah, it's almost all Americans playing college ball. You got to find the right pieces and see who you can plug in. And then there are different fires that can come to life that you have no control over, like a COVID outbreak or. your quarterback saying, I'm never playing
here
again.
Well, let me ask you about that, because he said that the players viewed as a business. Aaron Rodgers' issues with the Packers appear to be, from the outside, right, and you've talked about this, with management and, to an extent, coaching. Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't know how much the coach is involved.
Okay.
I'm not sure LaFleur's involved, but yeah, GM and president for sure.
Put that aside. Put the coaching aside. So you know as a teammate that your quarterback either doesn't like or doesn't have faith in what management's doing. So you just put that aside and everything's good? And
yeah. Well, I think so if you win 13 games again.
And go to the NFC Championship
game.
Yeah,
I think the counter is, hey, man, I think management's doing pretty well here. You know, like... They like me. I'm on the team. It's very selfish of Rodgers, which he's allowed to do. It's his career. It's his life. But I don't get the impression like he's got this big issue with the president and GM because of their drafting history or who they hired as their coach. It's more about the fact, well, the drafting of Love.
Yeah.
Rodgers would like some control over who stays and who goes. But if you're a guy on that roster, you're looking at it, I would think, as, you know, he's kind of being petulant. He's being a diva. He wants all the control in the world. He doesn't like the way he's been treated for whatever reason, even though he's a god in Green Bay. It's, you know, it's not like he doesn't hate them because they've won four games, you know, 3 years in a row. It's not about you're wasting my career. It's you've hurt my feelings. Is what it kind of feels like.
Yeah, it does.
You know,
doesn't
more
it?
Than anything else.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how his teammates would react to that, but we'll find out. Devontae Adams in particular, we'll see. We'll see what that means for both of them. But they're going to be with the team this year. And if Bakhtiari's back and healthy after he blew out his knee, they're going to have, a very good offensive line, good run game, good weapons. Defense was pretty good last year. LaFleur, I think, is a pretty good coach.
They got
a pretty weak division.
By the way, I looked at the potential NHL schedule for me this year,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a game in Chicago on a Friday night, it looks like, and the Pack are at home on Sunday.
Are you going to stick around? That is the question.
I've done it before.
Reasonable to me.
You should be on board with this.
You know what I need to do is get to Chicago to see, is it a Leaf game on the Friday night?
I can't remember. I'll have to look.
Because regardless of who they're playing, I've always wanted to go to a hockey game in Chicago. I've heard it's incredible theater. The anthem, the building, the ambiance. That'd be a great trip. I love Chicago. I haven't been there in a while. Stick around. Green Bay. Might have to happen.
Go to a college game on Saturday if Notre Dame's playing.
We get to Notre Dame, right? Like,
so I've
Indiana.
Done that. I've done that routine, which is fantastic.
I like that idea, man.
Theater.
Hockey,
road
football,
trip.
Football.
You think you can get the...
green lights? I will do what I can, Gord. It's not easy, as you know. It can be very difficult, especially coming out of COVID when it should be green light special.
How old are your kids?
2 and almost 6.
Yeah, you get no chance.
No, it's...
Sorry.
It's a stop sign. It's not even a light. I'm not waiting for green. I'm not waiting for yellow.
Yeah, no chance.
It's probably a stop sign.
And rightfully so. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can dream, though, Gord. One of these days.
My bad.
I'll make it happen. I could maybe do one of the nights, you know, catch and release type of evening.
If you're going to go, you got to go.
You got to do the whole thing.
Yeah.
You're right.